Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to begin the conference now on the role of the priest and the laity in the divine will. And the first page basically shows you the what the Church says about the priest, what the Church says about the lay faithful. Okay? And you can read that on your own. All right? And we're going to begin on page 2, volume 1, When the Confessor Came. She begins. The confessor, the priest, found me in the state of dozing. And when I came around, he asked me what was wrong with me. Keeping silent about all the rest, and since that time, the troubles of the demons and the visits of our Lord continued. So this is before she was 17 years old. Volume 1 is really Volume 2. When she wrote Volume 2, at the end of Volume 2, the priest said, how did you get here? How did you get to this point? And that's when she wrote Volume 1. And what you see with Volume 1 is she's talking about her life before she was confined to bed. And this is what was happening. She says, the demons would visit. Okay, could you turn that down just a bit? Thank you. Just so there's no ringing. And the demons would visit. And Jesus would visit. And at times, Luisa didn't know who the demon was or who Jesus was. And she was always very, very afraid. Her as a child, she had the demons coming to her, and it was very, very terrifying for her as a little child. As a, you know, you remember when she went to Torre Desperado. This is the place outside of Corrado. It's the farm. The devil wrapped her in the bed. They twisted the bed right around Luisa. And as a little child, the parents called for the doctor. So it took like 3 days by the time the doctor came to the farmhouse. And he looked at it and he said, this is for a priest. So then it took another 3 days. In the meantime, she's wrapped up in the bed that's wrapped all around her, the metal frame. And the priest came and he just did a little blessing and the bed just untwisted and she was freed. But so with this in Volume 1, here she, this is what she lived. She lived with the visit of the demons and the visit of our Lord. And so when the priest showed up, the confessor, she said to him, Father, it's the devil. And he said, do not be afraid, for if it is not the devil, if it is he, the father, the priest, will free you. So this is, she was always dependent on the priest to help her in spirituality. And today, unfortunately today, many people look for spirituality outside of the Church. And it's very, it's terrifying, because what happens at that point is the people trust themselves. I don't know how many people I've met over the years who have told me that they, I have the gift of deliverance. And that's terrifying. Lay people do not, I mean, it's the priest. See, the priest, when he's ordained, he has the power over the demons, and the lay people don't. And some priests, and I've known some priests who have been involved in exorcisms, and they've lost the faith. And they were good priests. But the devil is, he tries to convince people that they have power over the devil. Now, we do. This is why the Church gives us exercise holy water, gives us the sacraments, the sacramentals. And it's very, very important that every family have a holy water font in their house. And, you know, when you come into the house, you bless yourself. When you leave, you bless yourself. What you're doing is you're protecting yourself, because St. Teresa of Avila says The use of holy water is so powerful that the demons flee and will not come back. What they'll do is they'll send in reinforcements, but those demons when they see this exercise of holy water, they have to listen to every word that the priest says. They have to obey the priest. And because the ontological change that occurs, the priest becomes an alter Christus, another Christ. So we have to understand that what Jesus is asking of the lay people is to go to the priests. When you see a priest, ask him for his blessing, because that's the blessing of Jesus. This is how Jesus set it up. When you go to confession, if you hide anything in confession, you hide it from the priest. You hide it from Jesus. And the priest isn't there to condemn anyone. The priest isn't there use any information against you. It's buried. It's gone from the priest. And if the priest ever brings it up, then he takes on himself hell. And no priest wants that. So here we see Luisa. And Luisa is saying very, very clearly that the devil was there and Jesus was there. So giving me the obedience, again, the priest gave Luisa the obedience, marking me with the sign of the cross and helping me to loosen my arms, for I felt my whole body petrified as if I had become one single piece, like a rock. He managed to restore the motion of my arms to make me open my mouth, which before had been unmovable to everything. And I attributed this to the sanctity of my confessor, who was really a holy priest. Okay, so here what we see is that every night Luisa would turn solid. She would become no one could move her. It didn't matter how many people were there. She was a solid rock. And Jesus would take her and tour the universe with her. And she would stay in that situation until the priest showed up every morning who would bless her, and he would say, "Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One," making the blessing over Luisa, and she would become back to normal. And this is what she's saying. Her body was petrified. It was a solid rock. She couldn't move her arms. She couldn't move her mouth. Now, there was one priest who said, "I don't believe this." And he left her there for 19 days. And when he finally showed up, he said, "How long has she been like this?" And the parents said, "She's been like this for 19 days. And the priest, after that, always went to her house to bring her back to who she was, you know, like a human. But this is really interesting. When she died, see, nobody could move her when she was petrified. Nobody could. If she fell asleep like this, her hand was like this, and they couldn't move it. When she died, Father Bucci says that his sister went up there and picked her up, and he said she was as light as a feather. There was no weight to Luisa at all. So these are things that have been documented about Luisa. She had a very unusual life, and the whole reason was Jesus was taking this little one, this newborn, Luisa Picaretta, and remolding her so that God couldn't do it to us because we're too selfish and self-centered. When Luisa was 19, Jesus said, "Luisa, go to bed." When Luisa was 17, Jesus said, "Luisa, go to bed," and she stayed there for the rest of her life. She was obedient. And with that obedience, Jesus wanted her to also be obedient to the priest. So, again, because he was transforming her, he was transmuting her. And that's what God wants to do with us. It's because of what Jesus did to Luisa that we can have this. Don't ever think that we're going to suffer like Luisa suffered. God created, it was brought about the new man in Luisa. And now Jesus is saying to us, "I want the little children of the Holy Divine Will to also possess what I gave to Luisa." So she says, I attributed the sanctity of my confessor, who is really a holy priest, and I considered almost a miracle, so much so that I would say to myself, see, I was ready to die because I felt, again, so ill. And if the state had continued, I think I would have left this human life and died. And then she continues, but then I went down to the church and I returned to that state again. And so they would call the confessor. So even when she went to church as a child, there is when you go to Corrado, where her tomb is on the left side of the church, and it's going to be brought up to the front of the church when she becomes venerable, and that's the chapel of the Holy Spirit. And see, God has everything perfectly planned. That's where Luisa used to kneel. There's a square block there that Luisa used to kneel on. Father Bucci pointed this out. He says, this is where Luisa knelt, in front of the chapel of the Holy Spirit. So she's there. She's kneeling down. She went to the church, and she became petrified. And they had to call the confessor that would free Luisa. However, she says, I could never have imagined that it would take a priest to free me from this state, or that my trouble was an extraordinary thing. Now, in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, this is a very important passage. Volume 17, May 4th, 1925. Jesus says to Luisa the reflection, the Father wanted the reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. So under the paternity of the Father was the maternity of Mary. So who reflected the Father was the Blessed Mother on earth. Who then the middle part was Jesus. Jesus, Son of God. It's Jesus, Son of Mary. So the reflection of Jesus is Jesus. And then under the Holy Spirit, the reflection of the Holy Spirit, he says, is Luisa. And the soul's linked to Luisa. So this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come is about us linked to Luisa. See, this is so amazing. It's so astonishing. And in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, Jesus says to Luisa, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the secrets, the treasures of heaven that you, Luisa, will put down on paper for us. So the more that we read the 36 volumes, the more the Holy Spirit is going to enter into us not like the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, but a second Pentecost. Now, the first Pentecost, we all know, is in the spring, early summer, where you have the first fruits, the rhubarb, the strawberries, the asparagus. And that's celebrating the first fruit. The second Pentecost is in the fall. And that is everything that's grown all summer long. And that's what we're heading for. We're heading for the second Pentecost, which is going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket. See, what Jesus has planned is he has planned that the kingdom is going to be established in us on earth as the saints possess it in heaven right now. This life that Jesus breathed into Adam, that Adam lost, Jesus and Mary breathed into Luisa. It's the true life of Jesus, is the true life of Mary found in Luisa Picaretta. This is why we love Luisa, because when you go to Luisa, you fall more in love with Jesus, you fall more in love with Mary. So, and more in love with the Holy Church. See, because Jesus says, what I'm going to bring with this second Pentecost is the crowning of my church. And he says, I'm going to crown, it's going to be the triple crown of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now think about this. The saints have said that the tiara of the Pope will be returned. The tiara of the Pope will return. Now in, I think the 60s, 70s, Pope Paul VI, he was the last one to wear the tiara. And if you go down to Washington at the Basilica of Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, down in the crypt, before you walk into the crypt, just turn around and there is the tiara in a glass case. The Holy Father hasn't worn that since then. And the mystics said that in the end, the Pope will again receive the papal tiara, the triple crown. Now, the first one who's going to be crowned with the divine will be the Holy Father. And the mystics knew that it would go away, but it would come back. So it's not only going to be the papal tiara that the Pope is going to wear, but he will be the first to live in the divine will with Louisa. See, because you need a man and a woman. You have Adam and Eve for the creation. You have Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, for redemption. And now you have Louisa, which we know she's the third Eve, because when you read volume 26, you see that right there. Louisa, you are the third Eve, Jesus says to her. Now that means there has to be a man. We all thought it was St. Honorable de Francia, but it isn't. It's the Pope. He has the keys to the kingdom. This is what we just celebrated the chair of Peter on the 22nd. Jesus gave to the Holy Father, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. Now we pray for the Pope, who will be the first to live in the fullness of this gift. You have to have a man and a woman. You have to understand this. And what God, and think about it, he is the Father. He is the King. He has the keys to the kingdom. He is the priest. That was Adam. Adam was the king. Adam was the father. Adam was the priest. Jesus is the Christ, the king. Jesus is the high priest. Jesus is the father. That's one of his titles in the litany. Jesus, the father of the age to come. Eve was the mother. Eve was the queen. Eve was the virgin. Mary is the mother. Mary is the queen. Mary is the virgin. And now you have Louisa. And this is just what they said this past week. Louisa is the spiritual mother of priests. So Louisa is the mother. Jesus says, you are my second mother. Louisa is the queen, because he says, like the virgin Mary, you are the little queen. You don't take Mary's place. You don't take the Blessed Mother's place. You take as the queen again of earth. And Mary's the queen of heaven and earth. And then she's also the virgin. So what you have is Jesus getting ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's found in the Holy Catholic Church. And you know, we celebrated just the other day the death of a great Protestant minister. But he did not have the three blesseds. He didn't have, blessed are you among women. Didn't have Mary. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. He didn't have Jesus in the Eucharist. And blessed are you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. See, it's you need to have the three blesseds to become the fourth blessed. And blessed are they who believe and have not seen. And that's where God has given to us something that is so astonishing. It's Louisa. And he wants us to begin to understand what he is going to do for all of mankind because of this newborn, this firstborn, Louisa Picaretta. The one, Jesus says, that takes the place of fallen Adam. Now think about it. Eve basically was seduced by Satan, and Adam fell by being more obedient to Eve than to God. Then Jesus and Mary come to earth, and Jesus, and this is just amazing. Eve was the offspring of Adam. Okay, he's born of Adam, born from his side. Mary gives birth to the Son. It's now the mother gives birth to the Son of God. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, "You are my daughter, Louisa." So here again, the new Adam gives birth to the new Eve, the third Eve. And now she says, Jesus says, now you have to give this. This is what he says in volume 15. You have to give this gift to the man. And that's the man with the keys to the kingdom. And then he says to Louisa, you must be the key. How astonishing is this? God is, everything is full circle. Everything is ready. So Jesus is, he wants us to understand the importance of priesthood, Because to worship God, you must have sacrifice. You must have sacrifice. If there isn't a sacrifice, there isn't true worship. Now, our separated brethren, they have fellowship and they have singing and they have, you know, parties, basically. And they say, we are really worshiping God. No, there's no sacrifice. There's no priest. How can you have true worship? Now, the Satanists have priests and priestesses, and they give sacrifice, and this is what abortion is all about, to their god Moloch. This is still happening today. And we have to understand the Canaanites did that. And the south edge of Jerusalem, the valley that's there, is called the Valley of Gehenna. Okay, and this is where the Canaanites would sacrifice their children. And the Jews were so repulsed by this that they made it a dump. And the fires of Gehenna is where it was always smoldering. There was always smoke coming from this, because this is where they throw their garbage to burn. And Jesus says, you know, if you hold in contempt your brother, you will suffer the flames of Gehenna. I mean, they were so repulsed by the Canaanites sacrificing their children to Moloch. And this is what's happening today. Many, many children are sacrificed. You know, they talk about the guns. What was it? 500 people have died with guns attacks over the past, since 1994. But 60 million babies have been murdered, and they don't care about that. You know, it's we got to get rid of something that's minuscule compared to the murder of all the children. And see, our job in the divine will is to repair and redo, and this is what God is doing. So here Louisa is again frozen, and she says, so they would call the confessor, the priest, to be freed. However, she says, I never would have imagined that it would take a priest to free me from such a state, or that my trouble was an extraordinary thing. And this is what she said to Jesus. She says, don't bother the priest. And Jesus says, no, you have to be with the priest. And that's the same thing for us. We have to be with our bishop. We have to be with our priest. It's very, very important. You cannot have true worship without the priest, without the bishop. There has to be a sacrifice, okay? And that's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's not a meal. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But she says, then I went down to the church and returned to that state. Oh, sorry. And so who can tell how bitter this situation was for me, that the priest was needed in order to free me from the state of suffering? Wants us to know that as Jesus was the high priest who was always with his mother, and then when he died, he said to his priest, John, this is your mother. And see, every priest, Mary is the mother of the priest. And like I said, what happened in Corrado this past week, they said, Louisa is the spiritual mother of priests. The true mother of priests is our Blessed Mother. So if you find a priest that doesn't want to pray the rosary, you pray for him, because he's really lost. If Mary is not his mother, there's grave danger. So we pray for them. And it's not to attack, it's to pray. Jesus says to Louisa, do not fear, I am the one who gives darkness and light. And it's the same thing for us. Whatever we go through, we cannot be afraid. Those were the first words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. He says, Pope John Paul II. He says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Number one. Pope Benedict says, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Our hope, our trust, our confidence is in Christ. It doesn't matter what situation we're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, illness, whatever. God is going to take care of us. And as a matter of fact, we're going to have after Mass anointing for those who would want to be anointed. This is not the sacrament of extreme unction. It's not this. It's just an anointing, and we're going to pray for everybody here, because every one of us needs healing spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. We need healing, and God wants to heal us, and this is what the divine will is all about. But not only physical, spiritual, mental, emotional healing, Jesus wants to divinize us. When the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice, he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. That's happening. Little by little, that's happening. So we constantly go to Jesus with great hope, with great confidence, with great trust. So Jesus says, don't fear. I am. He uses God's name. I am the one who gives light in darkness. The times of light shall come. This is when the kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. This is a divine decree, Jesus says. And it is my usual way to manifest my works through the priests. You have to understand this. For example, let the priest lead in prayer. When a priest is there, people don't understand this. The priest begins the Our Father, and the lay finish it. The priest begins the Hail Mary, and the lay finish it. Don't take the place of the priest. He's the initiator of the prayer. He's the mediator between God and man. And so you let the priest lead in prayer, and it should always be like that. Wherever you are, if you invite a priest to dinner, you say, Father, would you lead us in prayer? It's not the family's responsibility. It's the priest's responsibility. You know, always look to the priest to lead in prayer. This is very, very essential. So he says, it is my usual way to manifest my divine works through the priest. There are more demonic at this point than ever before. And Jesus said to Louisa, there will be a time when I will release all the demons. Now, why would God do that? Why would God release all the demons? It's because this is what the people want. The people want the demonic. They want evil. Let's go back to abortion. How many of us pray every day that abortion ends? It's because this is what people do. How many people are praying live a holy life, a Catholic life, a saintly life? How many people are keeping holy the Sabbath? It's not another Saturday. It's not another sports day. See, it's God has to give to the world what the world wants. And when Jesus says to the apostles, when I return, will I find any faith on the earth? And in the Greek, when that question, the way he asks that question in the Greek, it's yes. He says, what's going to happen is, no, I said, there's going to be no one with faith. Let's look at our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. How many are really striving for perfection? I mean, Lent, keeping, you know, fasting, praying, focusing on the 24 hours of the Passion. You see, it's God has to give the world what the world wants. We've killed, like I said, 61 million babies. That's more than World War II, the people that killed in World War II. I think Stalin killed 60 million Ukrainians. It's more than what Stalin did. It's this mass murder. And Jesus says, this is what you want, then this is what I have to give to the world. This is why the 3 days of darkness are coming. That's death. It's evil. It's sin. God is going to say, you want this, then so be it. And this is the thing that's so sad. For us, we go to our room, close the doors, and we light the candle. The candle represents Jesus. And if we are not in the state of grace, It doesn't matter how hard you try to light that candle, it will not light. You have to be in the state of grace. It's not something magic. Well, I've got my candle, I've got my scapular. No. You have to be in the state of grace. And this is why the little children of the Holy Divine Will are given such a great, great blessing, and that's to refine our lives, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything. So Jesus says, it is my usual way to manifest my divine works through the priests. Therefore, the fear that Jesus would not really come was so great that I did as much as I could in order to manifest my interior. It is true that many times this cost me very much, but the fear of losing my dear Jesus would make me overcome everything. See, Luisa wasn't a complainer. Jesus was her life. And when she didn't see him, she says, I was dying. I had no life in me. I was completely empty. And she says, if I don't see him soon, I will die forever. That's how she felt. She was so in love with Jesus. Now with us, I've met people who have had of locutions and apparitions and visions. And, you know, they say, well, it was really nice. There was Jesus and it was really nice. But they're not dying without Jesus. You have to understand what Luisa went through was not a vision. It was not an apparition. It was not a locution. Luisa went through truly being separated from Jesus. Her life was gone. And that's why she says, the fear that Jesus would not really come was so great, she knew she was dying, that I did as much as I could in order to manifest my interior. And it is true that many times this cost me very much, but the fear of losing my dear Jesus would make me overcome everything. And I was also pushed by the priest, the confessor, to say where such a state was coming from. And the priest would say, is this from the devil or is this from Jesus? See, it was very, that when she was very young, it was very, very confusing at first. And so it says very clearly, what would happen to me when I was dozing and what was the cause of it? And the priest would now command me to manifest it. Now it would force me through the precepts of obedience and now place before me the fear that I might be living in illusion and deceit, that it was the devil living within myself. While I manifested it to the priest, I could be more certain and tranquil because the Lord Jesus never permits that the priests be mistaken when the soul is obedient. And this is something that's very astonishing. Where does the obedience? The obedience is basically when you go to confession. The priest says, for your penance, this is your penance. You say yes. Now, what I normally do is, see, somebody would say to me, well, your penances are not great. Well, the penance is the beginning. When I get a penance, I triple it. I triple the prayers for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the reason is, it's to say, I am so sorry for my sins, and I make a firm purpose of amendment, and I don't want to sin again. To you, Father, to you, Son, to you, Holy Spirit. This is why the prayer over here, the command prayer of the six steps, is so important. We're going to the Father, we're going to the Son, we're going to the Holy Spirit, and we're saying, I want to follow these six steps. And then at the end, and I ask that this prayer become your command. It's total surrender to Jesus. This is the prayer that everybody should be praying when you receive Holy Eucharist. It's very, very important that we say to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, that we want to leave our human will and to embrace the divine will. So again, the obedience is confession. The obedience is, when the priest gives a homily, it's the more that we strive for obedience, the strive for perfection. And it's like this image over here. The right next to Bob, to listen is to obey. to listen is to obey. That's from Saint Benedict. That's what Saint Benedict would say. What is taught by the church is fiat. What our dogma and doctrine is fiat. Now, again, going back to sin, when Father Gobi came to the United States from Mexico, he was surrounded by children in Mexico. He couldn't walk anywhere with all these children following him. He crossed the border, into California, and his question was, where are they? And they said, where are who? He says, where are the children? That's humani vitae. God is a God of the living. And since there's been disobedience to humani vitae, that's what's happening. Why is there this invasion in Europe? Because the Germans are saying the Muslims will come in and take work in our factories. Baloney. It's because of not following humani vitae. There is no children in Germany. There's no children in France. There's no children in Italy. There's no children in England. So we're bringing in a family with four wives and 30 children. They will work in our factories. This is the punishment. My friends who left Germany said to me that there are more mosques in Germany than churches. See, it's God has to give us what we want. You want no children? Fine. Then you're going to be wiped out. You know, Gaddafi said that. Gaddafi said, we are going to invade Europe. We're going to conquer Europe. And we will be welcomed in to conquer it. He said that years ago. And it's true. Because they saw very clearly that the Catholics said no to Jesus and his church. They didn't say fiat. They said no to humani vitae. The obedience. So Jesus Christ pushed me from one side and the confessor from the other, and it seemed to me that they were banding together, the two of them, the confessor and Jesus Christ. Volume 1, going back to Volume 1. He would also make me see scenes so consoling and beautiful as to be enrapturing. And this was to see good and holy priests celebrating sacrosanct mysteries. And oh, God, how high, how great, how sublime is their ministry. The priest is the only one that can say, this is my body and God obeys. This is my blood and God obeys. He's the only one that can say, I absolve you of all your sins, and God obeys. See, we have to begin to understand that the gift of the divine will is to begin to live the Catholic life. And the priest is essential for living the life that God wants us to live. Listen to what she says. Jesus makes me see scenes so consoling, so beautiful, as to be enrapturing. What is she watching? She's watching to see the good and holy priest celebrating the Holy Mass. Oh God, how high, how great, how sublime is their ministry. How beautiful it was to see the priest celebrating Holy Mass and Jesus transforming into him. See, it's we have to, and this is why, see that they're redoing the Mass. Cardinal Burke said, if you want to redo the Mass, he says, have everyone facing Jesus. He says, have everyone kneeling to receive Holy Communion and receive it on the tongue. He says, those are the three things that you should do to renew the Mass. See, we have to get back. This is not a meal. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And as we begin to pray, as we begin to want what Jesus wants, God will provide that. Don't say, well, woe is me, there's nothing around. No. If there is trouble in your diocese, if there's trouble with your bishop, there's trouble with your priests, it's because the laity are not praying. Remember, he taught us the Our Father, but the only prayer he taught the community was to pray to the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest was ready for harvesters. That's priests. And God will answer your prayer. And every prayer group should have a priest. Every prayer group in the divine will should have a priest. And the reason is because the laity cannot teach the divine will. They can't. It would be as foolish for a layperson to stand at the altar and say, this is my body, this is my blood. It doesn't work. There are three breads. There's the bread of your daily wonder bread. There's the second bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And then there's the first bread. And that is the bread that Jesus ate, the bread that Mary ate, the bread that Adam had before the fall. This is the perennial communion. And Jesus says it will be the priests to give this bread out to the laity. So if you don't have a priest, don't panic, number one. But number two, start saying, Lord, we need a priest here. And God will provide. I can guarantee you. See, if we are not praying, God can't answer that. But if we are praying, He will answer that prayer. It's very, very clear. So this is what she says. How beautiful it was. Now, Jesus is showing Louisa this. To see the priest celebrating Mass and Jesus transformed into him. It seemed that it was not the priest, but Jesus himself that's celebrating the divine sacrifice. And sometimes he would make the priest disappear completely. This is something that is very, very astonishing that you will see. Jesus alone would celebrate the Mass, and I would listen to Jesus. Oh, how touching it was to see Jesus recite those prayers and do all those ceremonies and movements that the priest does. And who can tell how consoling it was for me to see these Masses together with Jesus? How many graces I received, how much light, how many things I comprehended. But since these are past things, this is when she was younger, I don't remember them too clearly, so I keep silent. Now, she's in bed at this point, and she's talking about when she was a child. And again, when you go to Corrado, when you go to the church, when you go up to the Chapel of the Holy Spirit, where Luisa's body is going to be someday, you go see a square block. And Father Bucci says, this is where Louisa knelt. And you can kneel there. This is one of the most beautiful things. Volume 1. The Lord designed other things to give me the absolution himself. Sometimes he would take the form of the priest, and I would confess as if he were the priest, although I would feel different effects. And then, once it was finished, he would reveal himself as Jesus. See, this is... remember, Louisa, Jesus said to Louisa at one point, I want you to go to confession. And she went to confession to Jesus for 7 hours. She went to confession. And she said the greatest sin that she had, the greatest sin that Louisa possessed, that she did, was wanting to be a nun so she could help Jesus, rather than staying in bed. She says, Jesus, I'm not doing anything for you. She goes, I want to be at least a sister so that I can work for you. I could help people, you know. And Jesus says, no, I want you to stay in bed. So the worst sin that she committed was wanting to be a nun to help Jesus. And she was in the confession for 7 hours. What do you think is going to happen to us in the day of illumination of conscience, when every thought, every word, every deed is going to be presented before us, and how it affected everybody around us? Every thought, every word, every deed. It's going to be horrible. Let me clue you. It's going to be very, very tough for all of us. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.